Seamus, The Case of the Thieves and Brigands, Part 12, Old Dogs, is inspired by the book by James H. Collins, The Great Taxicab Robbery.
Rachel, the coffee shop manager, gave me some good information. Artemis Crowley asking Abel if he was ready before hitting him was the fun bit. It didn't seem like Artie's style. He didn't ask me. I wonder why. Tyler was at the counter this time. He looked when I walked in. Poor kid sighed heavily and his shoulders dropped. Don't worry, kid, I'll be nice today.
Welcome to the Le Cafe. What can I get you?
One Tres Chair Colombian dark roast. The chicory kind? Black, please. Kid stared at me for a second like it slapped him in the face. I guess he didn't expect that from someone so much older than him. Guess he didn't get the memo that you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah, sorry. One sec.
While Tyler whipped up the magic brew, I noticed the guy in scrubs I'd seen when I was talking to Rachel. He sat off to the side with a big book and a tiny coffee. He glanced my way a few times like he wanted to say something.
Here you go.
$6.75, right?
Nah, dude. You're permanently on the house here. The manager's orders.
He gestured over his shoulder at the manager's office behind him. I spotted Rachel sitting at a tiny desk. She looked up, gave me a smile and a nod, and then went back to her paperwork. Tell the boss I said thanks.
You got it.
I turned to leave when the man in the scrubs approached. Clean cut, young guy, nervous smile.
Excuse me?
Yeah?
Are you investigating that robbery from the other day? The one that happened over here?
Yes, I am. You know anything about that?
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure. I think so. I don't know. I don't want to waste your time.
Hey, relax. Why don't you tell me what's going on? And if it helps, great. If not, no problem, okay?
Okay. Yeah, wanna sit down?
I followed the guy back to his table. He had been reading from a big medical textbook featuring x-ray pictures of shattered bones. Made my ribs hurt even more. You were saying, mister?
Oh, Parks. David Parks.
Hunter James.
Thank you for your time, Detective.
Private investigator.
You're not a cop?
Retired, but I am investigating the robbery. Here's my card. He studied my card for a moment, then shrugged.
As long as I tell someone, right?
This guy saw something. I put money on it. I just needed him to spit it out. Mr. Parks, if you got something, we'll let someone at the station know about it. Parks shifted in his seat and closed the book.
Okay, the day before the robbery, I came out of the free clinic nearby. I'm a radiologist. Well, almost. I'm getting extra hours working at the clinic.
Go on.
Well, I was coming out of the front doors in a blue sedan, like the one they described in the news. It came skidding out of the alley and nearly ran over me. The guy slammed on his brakes and I managed to jump back or I'd have been eating his grill.
And you get a good look at the driver. Parks was warming up to his story. He was getting really animated. Must be one of those people that need to use their hands to talk.
Sure did. I was yelling at the guy about it. He just mean-mugged me through the window, glaring at me like I was the jerk here.
You think you could pick him out of a lineup?
Oh, yeah, I have a good memory, and nearly becoming a hood ornament helps recall. I made sure to remember him.
Okay, hold on. I'd like to show you a few pictures, and let me know if any of these guys look familiar. Okay?
I pulled my cell phone out of my shirt pocket to pull up the mugshots I'd saved. The photograph of Kevin Fisher fell out on the table. I kept scrolling for the mugshots.
That's him?
I jerked my head around, looking everywhere to see who Parks was talking about.
Where?
There.
I realized he was pointing at the picture of Kevin Fisher.
That guy? You sure?
Absolutely, no doubt.
Picking up the picture, I studied the smiling face of Kevin Fisher. Guess we just figured out what he's been doing behind his wife's back.
Does that help you at all?
Yes, it's a great lead. Thank you, Mr. Parks.
I dropped the picture and the phone back in my pocket and stand up to leave. I'm going to have to talk to Mrs. Fisher today.
Should I report this to the police?
Sure. Guy in charge is Bennett. Or I could relay it to them with my report.
Would you? I really don't want to take the time to get too involved. I already have too much going on. I'm glad I ran into you. I've thought I should say something, but I'm trying to finish my...
Yeah, we'll call it an anonymous tip, okay?
If they actually need anything from you, I'll let them know you want to keep a low profile.
Works for me. Thank you.
If you think of anything else, or if you ever need a private investigator, my number's on the card. Parks gave me a quick nod, and I headed for the door. How am I going to tell Mrs. Fisher? The good news is your husband isn't cheating on you, but the bad news is he's probably going to prison for a while. Damn. I called Mrs. Fisher. She asked me to meet her at some dog park. I liked that idea. Plenty of people around, not my usual haunt. I had time and decided to swing by the house, grab a few things, and check on Wings while I was there. It's been nice having Wings around. He cleans better than I do, and the man can cook. Seems he worked in a restaurant in college. He's a hell of an interesting guy. He went from being an uber-rich stockbroker to losing everything, including his wife, on Black Monday back in 1987. He ended up living on the streets. It turned out he liked it and is living large in the homeless community. Until he's well enough to return to his chosen lifestyle, he's keeping my couch warm. I can't say I'm in a hurry to kick him out. Wings is good company. I walked through the door to find Wings asleep on the couch. He looks ridiculous. My old police academy shirt was too big for him, and the baggy blue gym shorts had his knobby knees jutting out. One arm was thrown over his eyes and his mouth wide open. He was sawing some serious logs. I grabbed Mrs. Fisher's file and other things I thought I might need and head to the dog park. I pulled into a spot along the street and parked. Mrs. Fisher's already there, sitting on a bench under a tree. She looks like she's watching the dogs run around, but her brow is pinched, and she's checking her phone 5 times in 3 minutes. She looks worried. She should be. I walk the short distance. She rechecks her phone. Miss Fisher! A smile spreads across her pretty face when she sees me. The crease between her brows smooths out.
Mr. James, thank you for meeting me here. Please.
She gestures toward the bench, and I sit beside her. I set her file on my lap.
Okay, give it to me straight.
Your husband isn't cheating on you.
Oh, that's a relief. I was so worried, especially with all the gifts and everything.
Gifts?
Oh, yes. He's been so sweet lately. He brought me flowers, and we went out on a date night. It's been forever since we did that. Oh, and this necklace. Isn't it beautiful?
She pulled the necklace up so I could see it. White gold, diamond heart pendant, at least 3 carats, not a cheap trinket. I do need to tell you that your husband is a person of interest in a recent crime. Her eyes grow wide. She closes her hand around the heart pendant.
Robbery? No. Kevin wouldn't do something like that. He's a good man.
She stood up and stepped away from the bench. She was still clutching the necklace.
Kevin is a good man.
I thought you should know. Here. I handed her the envelope containing my report and the money I didn't use in the investigation.
What is this?
It's your report, and the cash I didn't use are in there. It's all on the invoice. You might want to hang on to that cash. There's a business card in there with the name of a good lawyer. Here, why don't you sit back down? She wasn't looking so good.
Do you really think Kevin is going to need a lawyer?
I stood up to leave. The card's for a divorce lawyer, just in case. Her face fell with the realization that her world was about to collapse around her. The hand gripping the precious jewel around her neck fell to her lap. I knew the cops would take the necklace. She knew it, too. Now I need to tie up Cassis's case. I'll go to the roofing company tonight, try to get Cassis's USB drive, and take these brigands down.
Thank you for listening to Seamus. If you liked this episode of Seamus, please leave a review and tell your friends. This has been Seamus, The Case of the Thieves and Brigands, Part 12, Old Dogs. It is based on the book by James H. Collins, The Great Taxicab Robbery. Hunter James was played by Sheldon Bird. Tyler was played by Ian Horsch. David Parks was played by Tom Hinton. Mrs. Fisher was played by Paige Scaler. I'm Leslie Woodruff. This episode of Seamus was written by Max Rees and directed by Gene Phillips. Seamus is a New Meadows Media production. All rights reserved.